This episode of Skip to the Show is brought to you by Horizon Data Systems, maker of Rollback RX. And now, Skip to the Show listeners can go to tinyurl.com/skipoffer, one word, and get 25% off Rollback RX as well as some other goodies. Okay. Oh, the microphones are on. All right. Welcome back to Skip to the Show. I don't think I told you that's what the show is called, but that's what the show is called. This is episode 3, if I'm not mistaken. I kind of record these out of order most of the time.
So have you done like 4 and 5 already?
Fuck no. No, I think this is 3. Pretty sure this is 3. Anyways, I am your host, Justin, the webmaster and grand wizard of skiptothescore.com. Who is joining me for this episode?
I am Derek. I don't know much. I'm just a small town boy, but I'm here in Thunder Bay, living life.
Joining the show for the first episode. It's weird. I can't say we have like normal hosts because I'm the only one who's been on more than one episode so far.
Everybody just cycles through, eh?
Well, the plan was, I think Peter and Clinton signed on to be like regular occurrences. We did the first episode together and then they fucking moved.
Yeah, assholes.
So I had to do the second episode by myself and fuck that. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, just an hour of Justin Rob.
Anyways, we are not recording this in the usual kitchen studio. We are in Derek's living room studio.
I think you'd call this the dining room.
So, I mean, the living room's attached to it, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever. Anyway, so the topic for this week, you may have noticed the episode is going to be called Forgotten Franchises, which has a very nice ring to it. And basically, to date the show a little bit, E3 2016 has wrapped up. It was a good E3. I don't know if you watched any of it.
I didn't.
Oh, I'm going to have to fill you in on some stuff then. But one of the things I noticed watching E3 there, especially with Bethesda, is they brought back a couple of old franchises and are giving them new entries, most notably Quake.
There's
a new Quake game coming out next year. I mean, I'm not a Quake guy. I don't know who asked for that, but it wasn't me. Whatever. Fuck it. Whatever.
It's happening, eh?
I suppose so. There's a new Quake game coming out. There's a new Prey, which I don't know if that counts as a franchise because there was only one. I guess.
Still, number two, right?
At the same time, in the last few years, Bethesda, they brought back Doom earlier this year as well. Doom is great, by the way.
Yeah, Doom was good.
They brought back Doom. They brought back Wolfenstein before that. They kind of confirmed a new Wolfenstein. But in general, there was a lot of talk of old shit making a comeback. So what I want to look at today is some other game franchises that they should bring those back, maybe. Maybe. So you and I, we both came up with some ideas for it and haven't really talked about them at all. So, I mean, maybe there's going to be some overlap here. Don't really know. But I kind of laid it out as I'm considering game franchises. It's like there's more than one game in the series. They are generally regarded as being not terrible. They have some kind of fan base. So, like, there's people who would buy them if there was another one. And some are like 6 or 7, 8 years since the last entry in the series. I mean, long enough that you could consider that it might have been forgotten by the mainstream, so to speak. And I don't want to get ahead of myself and spoil anything, but there's a lot of Nintendo games on this list.
Yeah, that's what
there's
I was
a lot
thinking
of them.
Too. I was like, oh, throwing back to the old, like, Mario, stuff like that, you know.
Okay, so, since most people probably turned off the episode by now, I want to, like, really, really front load this. I'm going to start with the big one, the number one. This is, like, when I thought of this idea, this was what came to mind. F-Zero.
F-Zero,
eh? F-Zero, bitch. So, I think I've mentioned on the show before, but I will go on record right now for all eternity, because this will never leave the internet. I think F-Zero GX is the best racing game ever made.
Really?
I think
you're
going
to go on record and say that.
Yes, absolutely.
So many people are angry right now.
Probably not.
Oh, well.
Someone has to listen to this to be angry about it.
That's true.
But, yeah, okay, so F-Zero, I'm just going to run it down a little bit. Have you played any of it?
I haven't played it in a long time. It's, like, forgotten for me.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so The original F-Zero, as it was just called, F-Zero, was released on the Super Nintendo in 1991. 1991 in America. I don't know if it came out earlier than that in Japan. I don't really care. Sorry, but... Yeah.
You weren't in Japan in 91.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I wasn't alive in 91. Don't want to date myself. But, okay, yeah, so... Came out on the Super Nintendo in 91, and... I'm gonna have to make up some knowledge here. I believe it predates Mario Kart. If I'm not mistaken, I think it does. I think they're the same year, but I think it came out beforehand. In any case, they would have been developed sort of within each other. But it was one of the first things to make use of Mode 7. Are you aware of Mode 7?
I don't know what
Mode 7
is.
Oh, fucking...
Another lesson, eh?
Okay, so... You played original Mario Kart?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so... Mode 7 was, and I'm going to, like, butcher the explanation because I don't know, like, the technical specifics of it, but it was there a way of, like, panning a camera at an angle over a 2D environment to make it seem 3D. So that's, okay. So when you get, like, the view you get from the original Mario Kart, or even when you do, like, the map swing in Link to the Past, it's Mode 7. So all that is like, it's using camera trickery to make you think that things are 3D. That makes sense?
Yeah.
A similar kind of thing was used for Mario Kart 64, because like those are very clearly 2D sprites.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Same idea. So it was one of the first things to really do that. So when that came out at the time, it was like this, you know, like the most 3D thing that had ever happened up until that point. Up until that, you never really got a sense of like depth, because almost everything was like a side scroller or top down. But now you had both, and it was a racing game. You could go fast, rocket cars. What's not to love?
Exactly.
What's not to love? So. That was the first one, by all accounts, very well received. It was very big in Japan, so that's when Japan got a few F-Zero games we never did. They got the TV show.
They got a TV show?
Oh, yeah. They did. Well, it's an anime, basically.
Oh.
I mean, all I know about it, I've never watched it, but all I know is that the show ends with Captain Falcon punching a bad guy so hard he destroys the galaxy. So, like, I'm in.
It's worth watching.
Get
I guess,
in.
Eh?
Yeah, fuck. So, he says one on. So, there was only one on Super Nintendo, and there was actually quite a big gap between that one and the next one that would happen. So, that was 91. Again, I'm going to estimate my dates. It's either 1999 or 2000 was the next one. It was F-Zero X, which was the N64 version. So, since that was later in the N64. Lifespan compared to
Mario... You're
looking
at close to a decade already by then, eh?
But compared to Mario Kart 64, like I said, 64 was the same kind of Mode 7-ish sort of thing. It was a 3D environment, but you're using 2D sprites as the characters.
Right.
F-Zero X, all 3D models. And then this is when they really started getting into what I loved about F-Zero GX, which was, it's not a kart racer, there's no items, right? It's like, the whole point of this game is speed. It's the fastest game. Like it's
you
the
don't
fastest,
have to be the smartest. You have to be the
fastest
the
game series. So yeah. Like you really started to get the feel for that in X, and that was also sort of, you know, racing games. It was the first one where the tracks themselves would be three dimensional. So there's one track where like the track is just a cylinder, and you drive on the outside of it. So you can go underneath the track and shit. Right, like no one had done that before. Tremendous. From there, you went on. There was one on the Game Boy Advance. I think it was. GP Legend? No, GP Legend was the second one. I remember what the first one was called, but there was one on the Game Boy Advance, which was essentially a port of the original. Whatever, I never played it. And then you get, in 2003, you get F-Zero GX, AX, and GP Legend all in the same year.
So they were just pumping them out then.
Yeah, well, so AX... Sorry, GP Legend was a Game Boy Advance game that had like a story mode and everything. Actually, I have it on my phone right now. I run it in an emulator. It's impossible to play without actual buttons, but it's like Captain Falcon doing dialogue and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like an RPG almost. It's great. But GX and AX are essentially the same game, except GX GameCube X was GameCube game. AX was an arcade game, and. I know AX had a little bit of a limited run in North America. It's primarily a Japanese thing. But GX is fucking incredible. It's first game that I know of on the GameCube, the PS2, like that generation, that it ran in 60 frames a second.
Really? Wow.
And that was a thing.
In
it's
2003.
Like 2003. And that's when you get like the real sense of speed, because it's also insanely pretty. Like it looks prettier than any Wii game that's out. 2003. 60 frames a second.
That's impressive.
And again, it's just like ludicrous speed, very nice environments, like driving all over 3D tracks. It has a story mode that's hilarious. Because it's fucking really hard, too. It's very difficult story mode where, you know, you play as Captain Falcon. And there's, like, very nice, like, CGI cutscenes.
Oh, yeah?
But think of what Captain Falcon looks like. Like, you when you see him in Smash Bros., where he's just, like, the most muscular thing in the world.
Yeah.
They animate him exactly like that. So when you see him just, like, walking casually in cutscenes, it's the most unnatural-looking thing ever.
Just strolling around all these normal people.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's tremendous. And also, that game's soundtrack is fucking unbelievable.
So did you beat it?
I did. I mean, I still own it. It's great. It's awesome to go back to. And then after that, nothing.
Gone.
Nothing since then. There was another GBA one that came out the next year. It was Japan only. But that was the end of it. And as far as I know, part of the reason was, and Miyamoto has talked about it because he had a very big hand in it, was the whole point of the series up until that point was making very large leaps in what they were able to do. Go from Mode 7 to full 3D models to 60 frames a second to where do you go from there?
Right.
I mean, even so, that's 13 years ago, but it's kind of hard to pick where you would take that. I don't really know what the logical next step would be. But, yeah, that was F-Zero. F-Zero's great. I miss F-Zero. I miss it. Okay.
So do you think they'll end up making another one for
they,
Wii?
They I mean, have to at some point.
I mean, I would imagine you could do some things with the Wii for that.
Not even the Wii. I would imagine it won't be right away, but I imagine there'll be an F-Zero on the NX when that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
This Nintendo's new console coming out next year.
Next year, right?
Next year! But I imagine there'll be something on there. They can't put it down for 15 years. Like, that's just a little cruel.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, that's my spiel about F-Zero. What do you got?
What do I got? I was going through this, and my favorite games growing up were always the NHL games on PC. NHL 2001. NHL
02 was my favorite.
02? I was a 2001 guy. And then I got 2004 and 2005 also. They were good, but just not the same. And then it was done. 2005, I believe, is the last time they ever did it on PC, and they haven't touched it ever since. And it's disappointing.
I think so. I mean, it does still exist on console, but I think it's either 05 or 06 is when they stopped bothering with PC.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, well, a big part of that is EA owns the license.
Right.
And I think it just came down to, like, not enough people are buying this compared to the console, so we're not going to bother producing separate discs. But no one buys fucking PC games on discs anymore.
Exactly. That's why now.
And you build the game on a PC to begin with.
With
so, like,
things like Steam, like, you could just put out something on Steam. Charge well, $20.
They would put out on Origin.
Yeah.
And they would charge way more for it.
I know, but, like, Fricks. It's so good. It was so good. And I know everyone loved it, but it's not there anymore.
I mean, I do still have O2, not on this computer, I have it on my other one. And then I have been playing quite a bit of NHL 06 on the PS2.
Oh, really? Nice.
Spinorama. Nice.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah, yeah, same move. Yeah.
No, it would be nice to see at least those come back to PC.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I'm going to move on. Next one. I did these in sort of no real particular order. So the Nintendo stuff is sort of dispersed throughout. Because I don't want to, like, only do Nintendo stuff for the first half hour and then have nothing good for the rest of the show.
Exactly.
So I'm going to move on to another bit of a heavy one, though. I don't know if you have any experience with these games at all. Jak and Daxter.
Jak and Daxter. I don't think so.
Never played one?
No.
Oh, you're missing out. So it's a Sony franchise. Have you heard of Naughty Dog?
I have.
Yeah,
yes.
It's what they did before they started making Uncharted games.
Okay.
So Jak and Daxter, it's sort of the epitome of, like, what Sony franchises were in sort of late PS1, early PS2 era. Like, very colorful and cartoony, but it still had an edge to it, and yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's the same kind of deal as, like, Ratchet and Clank. It was primarily a platformer, did a little bit of shooty-shooty in there. It had semi-lovable characters, one of whom never talked, and the other one talked way too much.
Wouldn't shut up, eh?
Yeah, one of those deals, and then there is, well, I'm going to go off the top of my head here, because there's Jack and the original Jack and Daxter is Jack and the Precursor Legacy, which was 2001, if I'm not mistaken. It was a launch game. And they did Jack 2, which I have a very soft spot for Jack 2, but like everyone else seems to hate it. Because that was one where Jack talked. So he's like, he never talked in the first game. Second game, he starts talking and he becomes, because this one came out like, I think 02 or 03.
Yeah.
And then it was same, around the same time when Prince of Persia, which we're going to get to.
Oh boy.
It's when the Prince of Persia did their sequel where he went like super hardcore and like, oh, everything sucks and now my hair spiked up and like that, right?
Back in the emo age, eh?
Yeah, it was that. It was Jack went emo. And the game itself is great, but him as a character who talks is fucking insufferable. And then they did Jack 3, which was 04, if I'm not mistaken, which is great. They kept Jack talking in that one, although we took a backseat to Daxter again, and it was way more of the first kind of style. It's like not everything is so serious, and very, very fun game. Then that was sort of the end of the canonical stuff for that series in 2004. They did a fucking Jack racing game.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm not going to count that. Fuck you. And then Daxter got his own standalone game on the PSP, which is just called Daxter. It was really good, actually.
Really?
And they did the same kind of thing with, I mentioned Ratchet and Clank. They did the same kind of thing with them, actually. It was when the PSP launched, they did two of the launch games were just Daxter. Daxter gets a solo game. It's a Jack and Daxter game without Jack. It's still a platformer and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And Clank got Secret Agent Clank, which was like his standalone, also a platformer. Like they're almost the same game, but they're both really good.
Yeah.
So there's, yeah, there's a Daxter standalone. And then closest thing they had to a next another game was in 2009. They had Jack and Daxter The Last Frontier, which is also PSP, if I'm not mistaken. And I'll be honest, I don't know anything about that. So I'm really going to say, you know, Jack 3, 2004, basically the last game in the series.
So basically they did three games in the space of 3 or 4 years there and basically forgot about it then, eh?
More or less. This is the time, too, when Sony was still really trying to compete with Nintendo.
Right.
And they're doing the same kind of thing Sega did, where they needed their Mario, right?
Right.
So, I mean, Sonic is the closest anyone's ever gotten to that.
Sonic was good.
Was he, though? Ugh. Pre-1997, Sonic was great.
Yeah.
Everything after that is fucking terrible.
No, when I was a little kid, he was good playing on the Sega.
I don't want to start lifting content from the Sonic episode that's going to happen.
Okay, I'm sorry.
There's got to be one. If you're a gaming podcast, you need an episode of how Sonic is terrible. It's like a tradition.
But it started out so good.
It's true, but yeah, so they're looking for their sort of flagship franchise.
Right.
And they had a bunch of them. And they're all really good, actually. I'm a big fan of some of the Sony stuff they did. But nothing was just to Mario level, though.
I mean, right.
That's just the way it worked out. Like, Jack and Daxter's great, but that was never a Mario level franchise. Ratchet and Clank was great. It's never...
It's not quite Mario.
It's not to that level, right?
Right.
And I think it's at some point, it's... I don't think it was doing as well as Ratchet and Clank, because Ratchet and Clank has... been actually quite steady throughout its life. It's been getting games every couple of years or sometimes back-to-back years since about 2001.
Yeah, because it's still...
Closest one was there was a bit of a break before the one they put out this year. They put out a reboot of the first game. Fuck, when was that? April?
April. Oh, yeah.
It was when the movie came out, because they made a movie about it too, right?
The movie just came out like a couple months ago, yeah.
Yeah, and actually that one... is tremendous, actually. I never saw the movie, but...
Oh, I was going to say you went and saw the movie.
I never saw the movie, but the game. The game is great.
Okay.
And there was a couple-year gap before that came out, but, like, there was, fuck, like, four or five PS3 games, Ratchet & Clank ones. And they're all quite good, like, but same thing, it was never an amazing franchise. Like, if you averaged out, like, the scores of every Ratchet & Clank game... It's a 72%, basically. Like, they're all good, but none of them are just amazing.
Slightly over mediocre.
Yeah, and that's kind of the story of, like, Sony as a first-party publisher.
Yeah.
Microsoft, too, sort of. But Jack and Daxter, like, it's... There's not enough kind of platformers like that anymore. I think it's starting to come back around with indie games, but you never really get first-party sort of shit like that these days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, speaking of platformers, I'm going to move on to my next one here, because it's a great segue.
What's this?
Crash Bandicoot.
I was gonna do that one. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna fill you in on this because you didn't watch any E3 stuff. So during Sony's press conference, where all they're doing is just showing like sizzle reels. There wasn't really any talking.
Yeah.
Which is good, because I hate when they bring out like, here's the developer who doesn't know how to talk to people. We're going to give him a live microphone in front of several thousand reporters and just watch him fail.
The guy's great on computer, but he can't do anything with people, eh?
That's the story of a lot of press conferences. Actually, this year was Ubisoft conference. Well, it was terrible. Well, it was so long, but they got Aisha Tyler to host it again.
Oh, yeah.
She's done the last few of them. You know, Lana from Archer.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Lana in real life? She's huge. And it's great because they still bring out like the developers, and they have like, oh, here's, you know, this Japanese guy who worked on this game, and he comes out and he's like a foot and a half shorter than her. Like, she's a, it's always fun to watch. And
that's
then
great.
Sony had a couple of good, like, they got Kevin Butler to do one of their press conferences when he was their spokesperson for a while, but this year there wasn't really an MC. It was just kind of like, roll a trailer, someone's gonna come out and be like, this is this game, it comes out here, it's gonna be great. Shirting down,
show,
next trailer.
Show
like, it
some
was,
highlights.
It was just
on.
Rapid fire. It was tremendous.
That's kind of cool.
And then one of the ones is they had, I can't remember the guy's name now, but he came out and he's like, oh, I want to talk to you about something else we have planned. And like the screen behind him goes to like, you know, some nice beach setting, and they have like a shadow of him, and then his shadow turns into the silhouette of Crash.
Ooh.
And everyone's like, yeah,
like finally
thunderous ovation.
Yeah.
And then he says, we're going to do an HD remaster of Crash 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, nice.
And then he's going to be a playable character in Skylanders. That's it. Fuck off. And then just the room went silent. I was like, fuck you. We wanted a new Crash game.
Damn it. We wanted more.
there's already, I believe, with these new ones that have come out next year. I mean, those are remasters, but
yeah.
I think those are going to wind up being the third or fourth re-releases of the original
really?
Games. It's like, for fuck's sakes, you can't make a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, closest thing till end of the Crash series, because there was a bunch of shitty spin-offs and racing games, and nowadays he is alive and floundering in mobile games. But Mind Over Mutant, Crash Bandicoot Mind Over Mutant was in 2008, and it was terrible, and no one liked it, and it sold like balls.
And that's why they haven't done anything.
But prior to that, really the last one before that was Crash of the Titans, which was 06... maybe, or 05. But again, it's like, that should be a good indicator when at the E3 conference, when you put up a silhouette of Crash Bandicoot, a character who has not mattered in over 10 years, and you get like the lot, like up until that point of the conference, it was the largest reaction you got out of the crowd. And you normally never even get that at E3, because the crowds for press conferences are like reporters.
Yeah. They don't care.
It's a lot of them do care, but at the same time, it's like, because the internet's awful, awful place.
Yep.
Is a lot of them, I know I was listening to Laser Time, and they were talking about this, is like, as a reporter, you don't want to be seen like, you know, cheering super hard or like marking out for something, because then people are going to be like, oh, you're biased.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of that's what a lot of that is. So, but even from that audience, to get that kind of response at the thought of a new Crash Bandicoot game, to just fucking wipe that away. Fuck off, you're not getting it.
Yeah, there's obviously a ton of interest.
Yeah, that should be an indicator that there is probably an audience for this.
People would buy.
Would
if
buy.
It was good.
I wouldn't mean, I never played a lot of the old Crash games. Actually, this is where it to get a little sad. I don't think I would actually play another one, because I did like the originals, but the only time I played them was when I was a kid. And I was a young and sickly child in the hospital. And the hospital had a PS1. And I played Crash 1 and 2 in the hospital. So it's like, it was great for the time when I was there. But like, looking back on it, it's like, I don't want to replay them. Because it's just, you know,
not the best.
It's not going to bring back some good memories.
Exactly.
I don't know. I mean, Crash has its fans. I'm sure they'll be happy.
Yeah, it was it was a fun game. I definitely play Crash 4. I don't know if I'd go out and buy it, but if someone had it...
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What else you got?
What else I got? The next game, another PC one, the Age of Empires series.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I know Age of Empires 2, I spent way too many hours playing Age of Empires 2. And then Age of Empires 3 came out, and nobody really liked it. Nobody really did anything. That was in 2005, and not much has happened since.
Yeah. I have one friend on Steam. I'm not going to name him, but when I joined Steam, 5 years ago now, something, he was on Steam. He owned one game. It was Age of Empires 2.
Yeah.
And then some say to this very day on a full moon, you can log on to Steam and find him still playing that.
On Steam, I have, I believe, two games. Age of Empires 2 and Age of Empires 2 The Forgotten, the expansion pack they just came out with.
I have like 200. The Steam sale's going on right now. Don't judge me.
it happens.
I gotta kind of profess my ignorance because I never played Age of Empires.
No way.
I never did. I've never been a big RTS fan at all. Like, the closest I'll get to it is I would have Civ 5.
Oh, yeah.
I'll fuck with Civ 5 and Civ 4. But I don't know. I can't really get into much else of it.
No, that's too bad. It was a good series, but there were so many spinoffs right away. Like, there were your Civilization, Age of Mythologies, all kinds of these spinoffs. But none were quite as good as Age of Empires, and then it just kind of died off after Age of Empires 3 came out in 2005. There's just kind of been nothing.
Oh,
I know. I'm so sad. Hurts me to this day.
Okay, I think we can talk about one more before we'll go to a break. So, I'm gonna try and pick one I think you might have played. I'm gonna go with, I'm going on a limb, Turok.
Turok. You struck out.
Ah, fuck.
Damn it.
God damn it, son of a bitch. Okay. I'll have to breeze through this then. So, Turok. Most known as just Turok, Dinosaur Hunter on the N64. Came a little bit after GoldenEye, but it was that same, the N64 variety of first-person shooter that would go on to be the only fire, you know, the only kind that mattered.
Yeah.
And you shot dinosaurs, essentially. And I don't really know how to describe it. It's like you're just shooting dinosaurs the whole game with various weapons, and there's a store. It's fucking great, trust me. It's Turok. Original Turok, yeah, it's an N64 game, but it's still well worth going back and playing now, I find.
Mm-hmm.
I used to own the fucking strategy guide for it, and I didn't even own Turok. I don't know how I had the strategy
just
guide,
in case,
but I did,
read,
and I used to just read it.
Just because you could.
No, you get, why not, man? So, I eventually went back and, you know, I played it later in life, and
yeah,
it's quite fun. I like it a lot. But yeah, so there was original Turok and N64. And then the only other real thing you got out of that series was they tried to reboot it in 2005.
For the GameCube?
No, for the Xbox 360.
Really?
And it didn't work. And they tried again in 2008, and it didn't work.
That's disappointing.
And it should be, and I didn't include it on the list because I found they're probably a little too close related, but also I've seen people calling for, like, when's there going to be a new Dino Crisis game? Turok and Dino, they're the same thing to me, sort of. Just in general, dinosaur games, where are they?
Yeah.
Where are they?
They are extinct.
Enter. Fucking great pun. Oh, shit. But Turok in general, like, it's an easy formula. You shoot dinosaurs with fun weapons. I mean, shouldn't be too hard to make that work. And especially now, like I said, a time when reboots of franchises are, you know, working more and more and more. Like, even just look back at, I'm going to say look back because it's fucking new. Look at Doom that came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you mean like a Doom-style version of Turok, I'm fucking in. Here is my $70.
Just
I played
right
the
away,
shit
yeah.
out of that. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to get much else out of you for fucking Turok, but...
No.
Anyways, okay, so we'll throw to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about... Ah, fuck it. We'll talk about some more Nintendo shit, I guess.
I like that.
Oh, you would, you bitch.
Yeah.
Let's fucking go.
Break time. Oh, yes, guys, if you're listening to this, that means you've made it halfway through the episode, so congratulations. Great work. Keep it up. Just to get a few things out of the way before we get back into the second segment of the show, I want to just put the cards on the table here. This episode is a little bit slapdash and a little bit kind of thrown together at the last minute because the original plans were for Peter and Clinton to be back on the show this week. and we were doing some work figuring out how to cast with them from across the province using Skype and stuff. And just to some circumstances out of our control, kind of at the last minute, it fell through. So I do want to give a massive thank you to Derek for stepping in on super, super, super short notice to be on the episode with me. Very nice of him. I know it's not really his forte, this kind of stuff, but he gave it the old college try, and I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll be able to have him back on the show sometime soon as well. So thanks a lot, Derek. What a stud. What a stud that guy. Also, you have heard at the start of the episode, but we have a sponsor for the show now. Ooh, yes, we do. We're hitting the big times now, can't you tell? So I'll go into a little bit more. So this episode is brought to you by Horizon Data Systems, the makers of Rollback RX. What is Rollback RX? It was a great question. Rollback RX is a restoration tool for your PC. It's a lot like the system restore that you get in Windows if it actually worked properly. So for like what it'll do is it'll make sort of a snapshot of your PC at a time of your choosing. And then in the future, if something goes wrong, you can restore your computer back to when you took that snapshot. No problem, no harm, no foul. Easiest thing you'll ever do. So for example, you know, click a link you shouldn't have, get a virus. No problem. Windows 10 messing up your PC like it always messes up mine. Easy peasy, no big deal. Rollback RX, great stuff. So what Horizon's done for us is very nice of them, since their products don't normally go on sale, but they're throwing us a bone here. They're going to help us help you help them. If you're a listener of the show, you can go to tinyurl.com/skipoffer. Skip offer is one word. The link will be in the description of the show. You follow through that link and you wind up on their store page, and you can buy Rollback RX and as well as some other goodies for 25% off, which is a pretty good deal if you ask me. So basically, support them, support us, support your computer. Everybody wins in this deal. I think it's a great deal. So once again, please go check that out. Big thanks to Horizon Data Systems for hooking us up this episode. Really appreciate it. So lastly, before we get back into the show again, just thank you for listening. Make sure again you can find us on Twitter at Skip to the Score. Please drop by skiptothescore.com. Maybe read an article sometime. Maybe comment on something. Maybe hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook. Just show us that you exist and someone listens to this. So that's it for me rambling. Thanks guys, let's get back into the second segment. Not mind monetizing my podcast. Wait, what's that? No, nothing. Oh, we're back. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Shit. You didn't hear anything. I'm totally not cheating my taxes by making money off this podcast.
No, not at all.
Oh no, to make money off it, someone has to listen. That's not happening.
Oh.
Okay, we're back. So, got a few more I want to talk about a little bit. So. One of the ones I brought up earlier, but it invoked the strongest reaction out of you, so I'm going to go right to that one. Prince of Persia.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see the shitty movie?
I think I did, yeah.
It was shitty.
It was bad. People were excited. I remember people were very excited.
I don't want to be mean, but like, yeah, I knew some people who were like, oh, it looks good. It's, no.
No, it didn't turn out.
If I'm going to plug my own shit a little bit, I did recently on the website, skiptothescore.com. I wrote up a small scorecard for the Warcraft movie. Like, you know,
It
was based on World of Warcraft, basically. It's terrible. I gave it 1.5 out of 5.
Ooh, that's not good.
And that's maybe higher than it probably should have got. But that movie's awful.
I was looking at the trailers. It did not look
good. It was terrible. And one of the things I said about, like, the one kind thing I said about it in there is, like, for what it's worth, at least when compared to like other movies based off of games, it tried to be different. Like, it tried to be, it was ambitious, at least.
That's something.
And that's one of my biggest complaints when it comes to like game movies, especially Prince of Persia. It's like, you watch it and you can tell everyone's at like 40% effort.
Yeah.
Like, no one really cares. That actually, well, that I heard nice things about the Ratchet and Clank movie. I'll have to watch it at some point.
Yeah, you know what? I saw trailers for that one too, and it looked a little better. But that's like
all I saw was I was reading reviews about it, and there's a whole bunch of, because it's a movie based on a game, so I feel like you're the game press, and I don't want to like call out any publications, IGN. Well, like they all fucking hated it, and they were giving it like 20%, you know. 2 out of 5, and you know, all this kind of shit.
Yeah.
And their big complaint was like, oh, it's for kids. It's like,
well,
yeah.
The game's
for kids.
That's
who it was always for.
Yeah.
It's the same as, it's the same as like the movies now in general, whenever they're co-opting new shit out of old franchises, it's always the same. It's always winds up being really milquetoast and kid friendly for one reason. You are appealing to the people who liked this 20 years ago, who mm-hmm. now have kids, who will bring their kids to see it.
Exactly.
That is the audience through and through, and you can't complain that, oh, it's not made for me.
Yeah.
Fuck you, it was never made for you.
Exactly. If you are 25 and playing Crash, and then you go out and watch the movie, it's just, it's not going to cut it.
Holy fuck, we're talking about Prince of Persia. Okay, that's so... true. Did you ever play the really, really, really original Prince of Persia? Like the fucking like PC game from 94?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, because I tried to.
Did you?
I tried to, because you can find it just like as a fucking Flash game online now, basically.
Oh, yeah.
It's really fucking hard.
Is it?
I had a hard time with it. It's platforming to the extreme. And it was a 2D side-scroller, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where... a lot of the franchise of the game actually came, because that's what it was, like a climbing, platforming, everything, like kind of like, almost like the Ice Climbers,
right?
Ish,
yeah.
It was a lot like that. And then when they actually made Sands of Time, and then now we can, you know, it's a 3D environment. Like Sands of Time is great.
Yeah.
It's worth playing at least for a little bit just to see where the foundations of the series come from. But yeah, like my experience with it, I did play Sands of Time a little bit when it came out. I never finished it at first because I was like, you know, young.
Yeah.
I have since gone back and beaten it. It's
attaboy.
It's tremendous. I love Sands of Time. And even going back and doing that, it's like you get to see like, this is why Assassin's Creed exists.
Exactly. It's
solely because of this.
That's what I was going to say. It was like, it was the stepping stone to get to Assassin's Creed.
Absolutely.
100%.
And then, so Sands of Time is tremendous. And then like I mentioned earlier, then so Sands of Time was, I think, also 2001, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I would think so.
Something like that. And then from there you go on to the sequel, and now it's like 03, and everything's got to be like edgy and hardcore.
Yeah.
And then you get The Warrior Within. And like, it's not a terrible game to play. Like, it still plays very well. The platforming's fun. The combat is nice. Fuck. It's like, oh, now the prince is emo, and then the bad guy is like a caricature of like Japanese female game characters, or so this lady there who's the kind of like the end all be all bad guy.
Yeah,
but you see her come on, like her armor suit is like very clearly just lingerie.
Oh, 100%.
Which has a really fucked up looking face.
Yeah,
like, she looks like a 12-year-old like boy's face pasted on like, you know, the Japanese woman Adonis body, right? Like,
yes.
It's really uncomfortable.
Nobody really knows what to think.
Story wise, that game is awful. And though I do actually like it, they did with that series is because like that direction they took with Warrior Within was like really universally panned by everybody.
Yeah.
Is later on they actually, instead of like retconning it, they found a not shitty way to like rewrite it back into the series.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that with Two Thrones or Twin Thrones, whatever it was called, where they revealed it's like, oh, the prince is partially possessed by like an evil god. So then when he's like stupid, shitty, emo Prince of Persia,
oh, yeah.
It's when he like that, oh, that evil guy is coming out.
He's coming out of him, yeah.
So like how they worked into that game is like you play as the normal prince, but then you know, whatever you build up your power ups and you can go into like you know Super Saiyan mode where you become the evil prince, and then you know, you do like double damage and shit. And then they had the second voice actor come in and do like his like all the fucking growling and yelling and shit. Which is like that's actually probably the best way they could have done that. Instead of
I didn't even know that.
That's fucking cool. Own your mistakes.
Yeah.
Everyone had a cringy period in their life.
Yeah, we're not proud of what we did.
Yours just happened to be 2003.
Yeah.
But, so, as far as I know, Twin Thrones, or Two Thrones, whatever it's called, was the last one for a little bit. And they did a sort of a reboot-ish of the series in 2008, which was just called Prince of Persia. Starred Nolan North as the titular prince.
Nice.
And, This one is the one that really lands on this list for me, because there has been another Prince of Persia game since in 2010 that was part of the original.
Yeah, I thought there was one of things in,
Forgotten Sands.
Yeah,
Forgotten Sands, which was literally made to tie in with the movie.
Yeah,
and that was more of a callback to the original 3D part of the series. But the odd one out there that they did, which it didn't sell well, which is why they never went anywhere with it, which is a shame because it's really good. It's Do you have a PS3 here?
I don't know.
Oh, darn it, guys. Behind me, and now I feel silly.
Yeah, you should. We have a GameCube, we have an N64, we have Xbox 360, but no PlayStation.
I'll have to lend you some stuff so you can play. I have it on PS3. It's really good. They went very out of left field with the art style. It's like that vaguely cel-shaded, like it... there's not a lot of shadows or anything, so it'll always look good.
It's very bright.
Like
crisp.
make it very bright with like a tiny bit of like cartoon to it, like cel shading, almost like a Skyward Sword, that sort of dealio, where there's no real focus on textures looking pretty because it's more of an art style. So then the game will never look ugly as a result.
Which is good. There's something to be said about that.
Which that came out in 2008, and I still play it every once in a while, and it still looks tremendous.
Yeah.
That one is. Like a way, way, way higher focus on platforming. That game is about 90% platforming, like 10% combat, sort of. It's weird. It's really weird out to left field take on the series, but I think it's the best game in it.
Hmm.
And Nolan North is like, I love Nolan North.
Big fan, eh?
Do you know who Nolan North is?
I don't.
Oh, okay, perfect.
I'm sorry.
This is when I wish I had a soundboard, because there was an old Talk Radar clip, which is a great podcast, man. Rest in peace. Where they did a Nolan North quizorama, because Nolan North, he's like the guy for voice acting. Like, think of any important video game voice acting role for the last 8 or 9 years.
I was going to say Mario, but that's not...
80% chance it's probably Nolan North doing the voice.
Really?
And most of the time, he just does the same voice for everything. But he's a very good actor, so you can't complain. So, Nathan Drake, Nolan North.
Hmm.
The Penguin in Arkham City. Nolan North.
Really?
Which, that's him doing a different voice runs. Desmond Miles in Assassin's Creed, like, you know, until he died. Spoilers.
Yeah.
That's Nolan North. the guy from Dark Void, no one played that game. It's Nolan North. He does it.
It's like Morgan Freeman. He's in everything.
Deadpool in the Deadpool game.
Oh, really?
Nolan North.
Yeah, Deadpool
also,
game.
Also, he's been doing the animated, like, Deadpool as in part of animated series and stuff forever. Yeah. He also, which one is it? Not in like the new shitty movies, but in cartoons and video games, he is one of the Ninja Turtles and has been for like 15 years.
Oh, really?
I want to say he's Donatello, probably. He's one of them.
Huh.
He's one of the Ninja Turtles. And then there's one more big Nolan North voice I'm missing here that I wanted to bring up because it's important and vaguely funny. Fuck. Remember now. So, Saints Row 3 and 4. Actually, I think it was more 4. Okay, so in 3, one of like the voice settings for your character was Nolan North. Like, it's just the Nolan North voice, right?
Yeah.
When they get to 4, and this is when it's like a parody of how he's in everything. It's cooled down now. Now it's Troy Baker who's in everything, which is also great. I love Troy Baker. It's like, of your voice settings, there was like, you know, standard, I am the main character voice.
Yeah.
There was a very clear Jason Statham knockoff voice, which is great. And there was a voice literally just called Nolan North. And it's Nolan North.
That's awesome.
But like, is Nolan North being the Prince of Persia and just, you know, talking in his normal voice, which is Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Which makes it infinitely more fun.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, that game That's is funny. Terrific. And I'm sad that that never went anywhere. I wanted something to really come of that take on the series. It was really interesting.
Could have really grown, eh?
Fucking could have, man. And same thing, like, I guess that movie really killed it. And I don't think Prince of Persia is going to come back, at least not for a few more years. Which, I can't argue with.
You know what, like, Assassin's Creed became really big, and I think really took the place.
I'll see if that Assassin's Creed movie kills that franchise.
It might.
Assassin's Creed, at least as far as I'm concerned, is already on the way downhill.
Oh, 100% it is. It used to be.
It went from you got
5 years ago.
You got one
huge.
Good game every 2 years to mm-hmm. you got one game every year, and now you get like two games every year.
Right.
Like I'll be honest, I have lost track of how many Assassin's Creed games there are.
I don't know.
So I know there was, okay, so one is okay.
Yeah.
Great at the time, it hasn't aged very well. Two is still the best one, fuck off. Two is great. Then there was Brotherhood, which was just like, I mean, it's still fun to play, but it's just two.
It was big at the time,
You've added more content to two.
Yeah.
Revelations, which I never beat, but it's like, it's Assassin's Creed 2, but in a different city now.
Yeah.
Cool. Three, which I did not like. It was a good concept. I'll give it a pat on the back for that. But the problem is, like, so you're doing it, like, around the time of Confederation in Boston, I guess the 1700s, right?
It was kind of cool.
It's a nice concept, but then, like, where it really suffered for me is, like, this whole game is based on climbing, and it's the 1700s in Boston. There is nothing to climb.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, three wasn't great. Four was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I love four. Four is tremendous. PC port's still a bit shit, but... 4 was very good. Then Unity, which was awful.
I don't think I ever played Unity.
Don't. No. Unity was really bad. And then I think there was Liberation or Syndicate.
Syndicate.
Or something. Like, there's a bunch of them now, and they're all running on that same engine that Unity did. None of them are good. I don't know. I've just fucking lost track of all of them. But
yeah.
My hopes are... here's my problem with that movie. Because... Jake Gyllenhaal is in the Prince of Persia movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake Gyllenhaal is a great actor when he wants to be.
Yes.
But he's terrible in that movie, and that movie is terrible. Michael Fassbender is in the Assassin's Creed movie. And Michael Fassbender has won an Oscar, I believe. He's an awesome actor when he wants to be.
He has huge potential for this movie, yeah.
But then I think it just comes down to the rest of it. I don't know. My hopes are high.
Just because you have a good actor doesn't mean the rest is going to be good.
I want to believe it'll be good.
Yeah.
I can dream.
Yeah.
Holy shit, we talk way too much about movies.
Yeah, I know. Now we've just talked about Assassin's Creed for too long.
Okay, so okay. We'll get back into some Nintendo shit. I can sling some more mud at them.
Let's do it.
So, I did mention this to you while we were on break, but... And I think it counts. And it's one of the more sad ones. Metroid.
Yeah, that's sad.
Okay, so, I mean, no one's listening at this point anyways, but if... maybe there was one person who's going to start furiously typing, like, Metroid's still great. Other M was tremendous. It wasn't.
You're wrong.
You are wrong. So
we will read the comments, but
so
right.
I'm assuming I don't have to run through the history of Metroid with you?
No.
Cool. Saves us a lot of time. Actually,
yes.
No, we should be filling time. Damn it.
Damn it. Do it.
But yeah, so all that really matters if we're going to... kind of trace history from when it starts counting. So Metroid Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Metroid Prime is amazing. It's one of the best games ever. And it's a fact, Jack. You can take that to the bank. No, I'm serious. Metroid Prime is one of the best games of all time. Prime 2. I mean, it's no Prime 1, but it's still awesome.
It's still good.
It's still very good. And then I don't remember if Prime Hunters or Prime 3 came first, but they're around the same time. Prime Hunters was the DS one.
Okay.
It was like the first first-person shooter on the DS. And at the time, it's like, this seems like it's going to be shit. And it wasn't. It was quite good, actually.
Huh.
I really liked it.
I don't think I ever played that one.
I liked it quite a bit. Because I remember when I bought my DS. Well, when my parents bought my DS.
Yeah.
That's good. I was
damn kid.
I was young. That was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
When they bought it, it was around the first generation of it. And one of the things you got with it was you got a DS cartridge that was like... a half-hour demo of Prime Hunters.
Oh, so they were just teasing you, eh?
Oh, I fucking loved it. Because that's all it was. You put it in and be like, oh, start demo. And it was I mean, now that the game came out afterwards and you can play it, it's sort of like they kind of amalgamated like the first two areas together and sort of shortened it. So it was just a corridor portion of it that you could run through, and it took you like half an hour. But fuck, I probably played that demo like 30 or 40 times.
Impressive.
It was a lot of fun, and then the game came out, and the game was also great. So, Prime Hunter's great. Then Prime 3 on the Wii. That rhymed. It's the worst of the Prime games, but it's still very good. It's the best first-person shooter to come out in the Wii. Fucking fact. Because there was only like two first-person shooters to come out in the Wii.
Little tangent here. I was super excited when the Wii came out for like first-person shooters and all this stuff, and it did not work out.
No, it didn't.
No.
I mentioned like on the first episode, you have to do a whole episode about why the Wii was fucking terrible. Because I got a lot of ammunition for that one. Fuck you, Nintendo. I love you. Stop being terrible. Prime 3 was quite good. It was the worst of the Primes, but still the best first-person shooter on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
That happened. And then so either that came a little bit before Hunters, or Hunters came a little bit after that, whatever it was. And then after that, you got Dick Fuck All, and save for like virtual console releases or whatever, until Other M, a fucking awful title for a game.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you don't
call
a game
that. It had terrible box art, too. And that was 2010, if I'm not mistaken. And I mean, at the time, I think if you look back on it, like reviews for it give it like sixes and sevens, but I fucking hate that game so much.
Even when you first played it?
Even when I first played
it. Really?
I think it's fucking abysmal. And here's why! Let's go into it. Number one, so again, it's a 3D Metroid.
Yep.
But it's like this weird mix of like first person, but also third person. Let's break this down first. So you move around in third person mode.
Yeah.
But whenever you want to shoot, it becomes Resident, like one of the old Resident Evil games, where it switches to first person and then you are stuck in place and you are aiming around.
Oh, that's bad.
Terrible. Terrible. And then, to make this worse, it's a Wii game, but you know how the Wii has that thing you can plug in that's an analog stick?
Yes.
Fuck that. You're not going to use that. You're going to navigate the 3D environment with the D-pad.
No.
Yep. Yep. And then, to make it even worse, you did get a little bit in the Prime series of Samus speaking. She did speak a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Not that much, though. You get, like, maybe the occasional word or grunt or something. So, in this one, Samus full voice acting with a supporting character. And, like, how it works out is there's this fucking guy who's, like, your mission CEO or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember what his name was. It had some really fucking sissy, stupid-sounding name. It's like fucking Andrew or something.
could come up with any name.
And he's like your boss. And how they reverse Metroid games are always like, oh, you lost all your power-ups at the start of the game. Fucking figure your shit out, right?
Yeah.
No, this one, you have all of them. But this guy's like your boss, and you can't use it unless he says you can. So, like, the whole time, like, you have missiles from the start of the game, and you have the grappling hook, but he's like, oh, no, Samus, you don't have fucking mission clearance to use that shit. And then later on, he will give you clearance to use that shit. And then Samus's whole character is, so if you look at everything prior to this, she's like one of the most strong female game characters ever, right?
Right.
She gets like the shitty mid-2000s treatment of like, I don't know if I can do it.
Oh.
I need a strong supporting male in this story. Like, it's fucking awful. It kills the shit out of that franchise. It just takes everything that's been done up until that point and just takes a shit on it. Fuck that game. I hate it. Fuck it. That game is awful. I cannot say enough negative things about it. Fuck that game.
Get rid of it.
2010. It was the last Metroid game, and it was a terrible one. So the last real good Metroid game was whenever Prime 3 came out, which I want to say was 2007.
2007?
Maybe 2006. Nah, actually, no, it would have been 07. Yeah, it would have been 07. So... now, there is another Metroid game coming out this year on the 3DS. It's Metroid Prime Command or something like that. I told you, but it's a 3DS game that doesn't have Samus in it. So fuck you, that doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count, 100%.
Fuck you, doesn't count.
Yeah.
So Metroid is still... Metroid, come back.
We lost you.
Come back, Samus.
We lost.
I miss you. Okay, so... man, I'm going to get really sad talking about Metroid more. now, I'll just bring this up really quick because some people might be expecting it. Half-Life 3, am I right?
Oh my goodness,
that game's never going to happen. Oh. Fuck you. All right, moving on.
That was fun.
I don't want to talk about Half-Life because fuck that shit. It's so overdone at this point. Like, let it go. It's not happening. And even if it did happen, you would be disappointed.
Yep. So, you've just been propping it up just to be disappointed.
Okay, so move on to that one. It's not unreal. It's not a Nintendo one. And I mentioned this to you, Derek, and you didn't get it, but that's all right. I'll talk about it for a bit. The Chrono series. So Chrono, it has two games: Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross. Chrono Trigger was a Super Nintendo game. Chrono Cross was a PS1 game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to confess, I never played a shitload of Chrono Cross. I did beat Chrono Trigger like 5 or 6 times.
Impressive.
I'm gonna go on a limb here. As I've been doing for the duration of this entire episode.
I was going to say, sounds like I'm making a lot of bold, declarative
statements. I'm trying to goad people into the comments to fight with me so that someone will listen to this. That's all. It's all marketing. That's all it is.
I might go and fight with you.
Do it.
Yeah.
But I think Chrono Trigger is the best RPG ever. And I don't think something's going to surpass it.
Ever.
Ever.
You're going to say that right now.
Ever.
You're going to say ever.
Ever.
Wow.
Final Fantasy 3, a close second, but Chrono Trigger is the best ever.
Huh. That's bold.
It will get its own episode for the show at one of these days. I'll have to educate you a little bit on it, but Super Nintendo, top down, there's a battle system.
Mm-hmm.
The music is some of the best music ever. And that carries on for Chrono Cross as well, which is the PS1 sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to bang on about it a lot because I'm just going to be like going in one of your ears and out the other. But
yep.
But it's all around, they're incredible games. If anyone's listening who listened to the last episode, I did play one of the Chrono Trigger songs. Mm-hmm. I did.
Just because the soundtrack's great?
Well, the last episode was a music episode. So I did play one of the songs off that. But the soundtrack is incredible. But yeah, so Chrono Trigger was 1992, if I'm not mistaken. 92 or 93. And then Chrono Cross was 1999.
Wow.
And then nothing.
17 years, eh?
Fucking do something with it.
17, I don't know, man. 17 years is a long time.
I mean,
I was 5. 17 years. 5.
It's not a Nintendo franchise. Like, Nintendo doesn't own it. So it's hard to say where it will go, because really it's up to, like, Square at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're going to fuck with it because Final Fantasy is their flagship. Like, there's 1,000 Final Fantasy games coming out this mm-hmm. year alone. Actually, no.
There's one every day.
All seriousness, I am very excited for Final Fantasy 17. But I think that's a little bit of his. Don't want to steal any of Final Fantasy's thunder or, like, allocate resources away from it that could be used for an FF game that they think would sell better. It is a little sad. But at the same time, though, like, as far as you. Browsing storyline, it got wrapped up quite well in Chrono Cross, so I don't know where you could go from it, or even just like, fuck you, just give me like an HD remake or something. Just give me something.
You just need it.
Give me something, fuck. I want it.
But Dad...
I want it, okay. Do you have any more?
Not that I know of right now. I had another one for Xbox that I was thinking of, but I don't remember it anymore.
Xbox games, no one plays those.
I know.
Oh, and I don't want to talk about E3, but this is exciting news, at least for me. So, Microsoft. There's no more Xbox exclusives anymore.
Really?
Everything will also be released on PC.
Really? That's, Microsoft just trying to get everybody onto the
just trying to get
PC.
Someone to buy their shit.
Yeah, exactly.
They announced a new console as well. So, everyone's got a new console coming out next year. I'll buy none of them. But actually, that's not true.
Like the new Xbox.
There's gonna be a new Xbox.
PS.
It's called the Xbox is codenamed Project Scorpio. There is gonna be another PlayStation of some
PlayStation
kind.
PlayStation 5 or
it's codenamed the Neo.
Hmm.
So I mean, I imagine it's gonna be in the same vein of what the new Xbox is gonna be because the new Xbox is gonna be like the Xbox 1.5.
Yeah,
it's slightly upgraded, and so like it'll be able to do VR, but probably shittily. It's great because I'm a PC Master Race fucking asshole. So they like were vaguely mentioning like the, you know, the specs of, that they know of for this new Xbox is coming out. They're like, oh, it'll be able to do VR and 4K, and then here's me sitting in the back. Actually, no, I was watching this press conference at work actually. Because this is when we were going to go on strike, and I didn't, so I wasn't going to do any fucking work.
No,
fuck that. So I was just watching press conferences at my desk, and I was just sitting back in my chair and like, oh, it'll do 4K VR, and I'm just leaning back at 10 frames a second. So fuck yeah. I mean, there's that, and then there's been rumblings about the Neo, same deal. It's like, oh, it'll be 4K at no frames a second. And whatnot. And then the NX, which is Nintendo's console, which, like, fuck all is not about that one. But that's what I'm most excited about. Because I'm going to have to buy it for a Zelda game.
Oh.
Obviously. Yeah. That's as much as I'm willing to go for consoles these days. But anyways. So, yeah, like, their Xbox is getting its shit kicked in, especially by the PS4. So they're like, yeah, fuck it. We can't afford to alienate PC gamers anymore who hate us. Here, take Gears of War. You can have it.
You can have it.
And then I'm like, no, I don't want it. There's also a new Gears of War game.
Another one.
It looks.
You know what? I was never a fan.
I mean, okay, like, I don't want to do a shitload of this on the show. I can talk to you about E3 afterwards and give you the rundown. But yeah, anyways, so. Fucking Xboxes. Okay, so I'm missing on one more big one we should talk about. Banjo-Kazooie! Or Banjo-Tooie, or Banjo-3-E. Actually, no, they did Nuts and Bolts, so it would be Banjo-4-E at this point.
I liked Banjo, Banjo-Tooie, yeah.
So... And I think it's fair that you could hold out hope for a new Banjo game.
Yeah?
Because Rare is not doing garbage anymore.
Hmm.
So Banjo-Kazooie made by Rare Studios. They also made GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. And any non-Nintendo N64 game worth playing. Tremendous.
Have they done anything recently?
Oh, okay, we're going to get into that.
Okay.
So they made all that stuff, and they made Donkey Kong Country.
Donkey Kong, I love those games.
Yeah, like, Rare as a Nintendo in-house studio was tremendous.
Yeah.
And then after, like, you know, when the GameCube, that era came around, they got sold to Microsoft. And their Microsoft stint initially included trying to do a Perfect Dark reboot that was...
Mediocre at best, eh?
And then they did another Banjo-Kazooie game. Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts in 2009. It was... I guess.
Yeah.
It was fine. And then they spent a long time making awful Kinect games. Like, Kinect Sports, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was Rare. Which is, like, that's so sad that that's how far they fell. But at least now it looks like... Fuck, I have to bring up E3 again. God damn it. They showed off a game at the Microsoft conference at E3. It's a pirate game called Sea of Thieves. And it's like, can remember earlier I discussed like the Prince of Persia, like the vaguely more cartoony than that, but it's like very hyper colorized, like first person pirate game. Yeah. And it looks really fucking good.
Huh.
So provided that is good, but at least looks like it's an original game, so Rare is getting to actually make shit they seem like they want to make now.
Yeah, they're not just.
I don't think it's entirely unrealistic we could get another Banjo-Kazooie game at some point, and it would also be on PC now.
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
Hey, that's all right. Yeah,
fuck yeah. I mean, me and Banjo-Kazooie and Tooie were always just like a poor man's Mario 64, but I always liked them.
Yeah,
they were always good. Anyways, we're actually we can go for a few more minutes. A few more minutes because.
Sweet.
One last one I just want to mention before we're done. And I mean, obviously, I am missing out on a bunch of these. There's way more we could be doing. There might even be another episode someday. Who knows?
I'm going to roast you.
Who knows? I want to talk about one more, which, I mean, I'm sorry. I know you don't really know this one either. But Advance Wars, or even just like the Wars series is what you would call it, I suppose. So, I mean, I know I said earlier I never liked RTSs, but this, like Civ 5 and like this are my exceptions. So... It did start as Famicom Wars originally, and it was on the Famicom. You're giving me this look like you don't know the Famicom. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's what they call the NES in Japan.
Okay.
Basically. But most notably, like, this series hit its biggest success with Advance Wars 1, Advance Wars 2, and Advance Wars Dual Strike, which were GBA, GBA, and then DS, respectively.
I think I might actually
I think I remember these actually. I'll show you some of them. It's like hyper sort of cartoony stylized RTS game, and yeah. all the COs you play as are literally children.
Yeah.
And it's like, "Oh man, I can't wait to go to battle and throw away the lives of thousands." Gee whiz. I'm Andy. Like it's very Japanese in that regard, but it's been like those games ate. They're fucking really hard too.
Yeah.
Very difficult, those games, but very fun to play, very well polished. Advance Wars 1, 2, and then Dual Strike were the big ones that mattered. They interjected what I called the War series. They also bled in Battalion Wars into this, which I don't know if you ever heard of it. Not a lot of people did. I think they made two of them, if I'm not mistaken, but it was like, they were on the GameCube, and I think one of them came out on the Wii as well, and it was like an RTS, but also it had like regular action game elements to it, like you could just play as one guy. It was done in a similar style. I had the first one. I liked it. I can't tell you anything else about that series because it's been so long.
Yeah, it has been a long time.
And then the end of it, the last thing that Advance Wars happened was they did, I don't even know if you can call it non-canonical because nothing ever happened afterwards, but they put out Advance Wars Days of Ruin on the DS in 2008. And it was all new characters, a bit of a different art style, and it was like the post-apocalyptic version of Advance Wars. So maybe they finally did ruin the world with all their happy-go-lucky war.
Yeah, I was going to say, this probably is...
Actually, I think in the canon, it was like a giant meteor shower just killed everything.
Yeah.
So then it's actually... Okay, so remarkably, I mentioned the first two, you know, it's like, oh, gee whiz, going to go to war now. Like, it's all strangely happy and upbeat for it. This one is so fucking dark.
It's really dark,
it's
eh?
It's very dark the way they're talking. It's like, oh, we gotta go to war over the last little bit of water.
Oh, wow. That's like,
it gets pretty serious. And it's built on the same foundation. It's still very fun to play. I don't know how Days of Ruin sold, but I know that, like, Advance Wars, at least Advance Wars 2 and Dual Strike sold very well in North America. Advance Wars 1 didn't really, because guess what? Okay, this is some uncomfortable knowledge, but Advance Wars 1... In North America, guess what day it came out on?
No, don't say it. 2001. September 11th.
Yes.
That's so sad.
Good. Yeah, it came out on 9/11, which...
That's...
Ooh, so sad. And I think as America, especially as a country, was not ready to make fun of war after that happened. So, yeah, no. Advance Wars 1 did not do very well, just as a whole, which is a shame. So, I mean, but same thing, like... The rest of them did quite well. I think Days of Ruin didn't do half bad itself, but then that's been it since 2008. And I can't think of a reason why there hasn't been another one yet. Isn't it like there was never one on the 3DS? At all. Like, fuck you, Nintendo, make one. Fuck it.
You have one job.
Fuck it, I want... Yeah, that, you know what? That's the last one I'm going to mention, because I'm mad about it now, and I want a new Advance Horse. Fuck you. Anyway, okay, so that is going to bring us to the end of the show. So sad. So, real quick, we'll go with a nice round of plugs. So, you should all for sure, go check out skiptothescore.com. There's lots of, I was going to say fun articles, but that would be a lie. There's a lot of articles there.
Controversial articles.
That's also a lie. But there's lots of fun stuff there. You can follow the Skip to the Score on Twitter as well, at Skip to the Score. And that's where a lot of the updates and that kind of stuff gets posted. If you like the show, pretty please go to, you know, iTunes, give us 5 stars, or like Stitcher and give us 5 stars, or wherever you listen to this, give us 5 stars. Just in general, it helps the show, and it helps prove to us that people listen, which is always a good sign.
Absolutely.
Also, I mean, I failed to mention it earlier, but if you have any, there's a lot I skipped over, and maybe we'll come back to this concept later, but if there's in particular, you know, a franchise you'd like to see come back, or maybe one that did come back and should have stayed going forever, let us know in the comments. May as well. Open up for some discussion, and then maybe we'll bring it up again on another show in the near future. In any case, so, once again, that's all that. You can follow me personally on Twitter, at JerstinRob. I don't know, Derek, do you still have Twitter?
No, I got rid of it.
Boo.
I know.
Okay, well, you can follow Derek nowhere, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah. I'm off the grid.
And that's going to be it for this episode. So we'll see you later, fuckers!
You might feel like Wow.